I really wanted my experience there to be just a true, authentic reflection of who I am as both a person and a home chef.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. Here today, we've got a special guest, Marcella DiChiara. Marcella, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's going to be an interesting conversation because I think you're taking part in this food contest. People are going to say, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yes, I am a contestant on season three of PBS's hit show, The Great American Recipe, airing on June 17th.
And June through August, they'll, of course, build the tension, and we won't do any spoilers, but we just want people to watch at least June and then follow through. So how did they find you? Wow. I mean, you're here in, respectfully, Little Franklin, Mass. And did you reach out? Or did they find you? How did that go?
I was actually in Italy this summer, and someone had reached out to me via Instagram. I do have an Instagram presence that is food focused. And my Instagram handle, which is Boston Home Cooking, is probably what drew them. They were looking for various home cooks from different
Sure.
regions all over the country. So when they were trying to check that New England box, I think they were thinking Boston or Massachusetts, and I came up. And then after that, it was a series of many, many interviews. And then I was informed that I had been cast.
Oh my, yes. Yeah, and Boston certainly, you know, it goes back. It's the hub of the world for a good reason, because everything kind of centered around it at one point, and then it's still an important place, as opposed to Franklin, respectfully, which is very important too. But yeah, we take second step to Boston, but that's okay.
Well, when I made the page initially, which was many years ago, I was a Boston resident. So I didn't want to change the handle just because it
No.
had been in existence for so long. But when I was on the show, they actually wanted to indicate that I was from Boston. And I said, absolutely not. No way. Franklin, Mass. And I wanted everyone to know it. Just do my little part to put Franklin on the map. And, you know, it's an honor to represent the town. So I really wanted to ensure that they knew I was from Franklin.
And we appreciate that. That's good. Franklinites, stand up. Yes,
that's
yes.
Right.
We got to be counted for. Folks may not realize, but there are over 40 Franklin legal entities across the United States. There's a Franklin County in Massachusetts. Clearly, there's our space here in Metro West. And there's a Franklin, Tennessee, which actually has the Franklin Matters name as well. They have the .com version. I got the .org version, which is what I really wanted anyway. So it all works out. But there's a 40 something for a good reason, because it all gives honor, theoretically, at least, all the same to good old Benjamin Franklin, who originated in Boston, too.
That's right.
So cooking, obviously, we all like to eat. You like to cook as well, which I do on the side. But yeah, so do you have a particular focus? I think they centered on your Italian background and Italian recipes.
Yeah, the premise of the show is really about sort of the fabric of America, and kind of what makes America great is that we are really just sort of a melting pot in a myriad of ways. But this particular show focuses on the culinary aspect of that, and how we all bring our own unique identities in terms of our culture to the table. And so for me, that focus is Mediterranean cuisine, specifically Sicilian cuisine. I am a first generation American. Both my parents were both born in Sicily. And so that's the food I grew up with. That's the food that sort of runs through my veins, and it's my passion. I think ultimately, you know, what everyone brings to the table in terms of the other contestants is really such a unique and amazing mix of different home cooks. There's someone who practices sustainable living and farming in Alaska. There is a woman from Togo, Africa, who brings her culture to the table. And so my forte happens to be Sicilian cooking, but I learned a lot about other cuisines. And it was really, that was probably the best part of the experience was the friends that I met, my new family, and just getting an exposure to what they grew up with and what their norm was. So it was really, really, really quite the experience. And I certainly am very grateful that I had it.
I'm sure. And then it may be that there's some ingredients and or some techniques that over time you may want to incorporate in your own recipes to see if they can further enhance what's going on there.
Yeah, and I have to say that I do not have any formal training whatsoever as a cook. Everything that I've learned and everything that I do is really just a generational pass down of cooking styles, cooking recipes, and cooking traditions. So I felt almost like I had a little bit of imposter syndrome because some of these cooks were like, I mean, they're home cooks too, but they were so phenomenal. I mean, they could have easily been behind the helm of a 4-star restaurant. So it was a little intimidating, but what I learned was that, what your focus is and what your specialty is to other people also seems like such a reach for them. Like what seems so simple to me and so intuitive to me in the kitchen, is actually quite challenging for someone, let's say, who focuses solely on Asian cuisine.
Sure.
So it was interesting because we learned a lot from each other, but we were also so impressed and taken aback by each other's skill sets because they were all wildly different.
Yeah, I've used the line in other interviews, whereas an internet buddy who unfortunately has passed on these days, but the line she had is that, with strangers, when they come together, they're only a stranger once. Once you start talking, you find out, oh, I did this, you did that, you did that, I did this. And now when you bring it around a table, around food, everybody has food, but yeah, there's a whole variety of foods and preparations. And just in my own heritage background, there's a mix of French and Irish and Italian. So we kind of have a smorgasbord of recipes every time we get together, but that's our family tradition, as opposed to somebody like you, perhaps, that had more of a Sicilian focus, and others, as you've referenced, had other individual focuses, and bringing them together, that's cool.
Yeah, and I think that's really sort of the driving force behind the show is that despite all of our differences, whether it's where you live or what your backgrounds are, what your religion is, I mean, food is such a common denominator among all of us, right? So it's all embedded into who we are and what we do, and I don't really think I know a single person who doesn't love food in some capacity. So, and that's kind of why, I gravitate towards cooking. It brings me a lot of joy. I know some people stress out about cooking and it brings them absolutely zero joy. For me, it is kind of my love language. It's the way I express myself and the way I express my love for the people I cook for. So, hopefully that if nothing else, that'll be the driving message that people get from the show when they watch me, and maybe they'll be a little inspired because I really do think that even if you're intimidated in the kitchen, it can be achievable and it can be quite easy and dare I even say enjoyable. I think you just kind of have to, I guess, have an open mind.
It don't be so critical of yourself. Be willing to try and fail because, oh, by the way, you can learn something by failing very easily.
I often find too that sometimes the mistakes I've made in the kitchen have led to some of my best recipes.
See?
So, it's not always a bad thing to make mistakes. With the exception of maybe like oversalting,
Yeah, I was going to say
that's
something like
always a killer.
that might. Probably not too much wine, but too much salt, perhaps. Yes.
Right. But yeah. It was really an awesome experience. I can't say enough about it. And I think the show, when people think about cooking shows in general, they probably jump to, the harsh critiques and the,
The
very
competitiveness.
competitive dynamic between the contestants. But this show is really not like that at all. It's a very family-friendly, family-oriented show. The feedback that we get from the hosts and the judges, who are phenomenal, by the way, is it was really designed to help us be better cooks. It wasn't meant to be insulting or to be belittling in any way. We were not pinned against one another. It was very much just a shared experience with a lot of positivity, kindness, and learning. So, part of why I agreed to do the show was because I had seen the previous seasons and I just knew that it was a feel good show. And it's just something that I would want to be a part of.
No, that sounds good. I don't watch a lot of TV because generally I'm doing a lot of meetings, but Monday night happens to be a night that I generally don't do meetings. So I'm going to book that time to find out because, yeah, some of the shows that I have seen from time to time, some of that competitiveness, that's definitely a turnoff. But to the extent that it's not, and it focuses on, I'm assuming, it filling in between your lines, et cetera, that the kind of the collaboration, the understanding of how somebody's approaching a recipe and a meal, et cetera, that is enticing. I want to be at the table there too.
Yep, I agree. And that's, again, I've watched some of those cutthroat shows that are very much anxiety ridden, and they just don't sit well with me. I don't enjoy them. I don't like that feeling of angst and franticness. There is an element of time limits on this show. You are only given 1 hour to create from start to plate your dish. So there was that element of excitement and kind of keeping an eye on the clock. But I knew that when I was going to be facing the judges, any feedback that I was going to get was going to be at least met with some either constructive comments or positivity. And so that allowed me to sort of take a breath and really enjoy the experience instead of fearing every cook, because each episode has two cooks. I mean, meaning two dishes that you prepare. So just a lot of mental exhaustion by the end of it, because you want to get it right, and you want to represent your culture proudly. For me, it was really an extension of representing my parents and their journey as immigrants to the United States. And so I just really wanted to convey their story as well, because their story is such a huge part of mine.
Did you end up kind of practicing on your own before? Was it something that you could do, or did you just have to go there willing to just, I'm just going to do this and do what I can?
Yeah, I made it a point to not allow myself to think or practice or time myself or do any sort of preparation before filming, because I really wanted my experience there to be just a true, authentic reflection of who I am as both a person and a home chef. And I knew that if I put too much thought into it, it would dilute the, I guess, integrity of my style of cooking, which is really driven by spontaneity and just instinct.
So you
And
stayed within
so,
your own brand as you already knew it, which that makes sense. Yes.
yeah, so I really wanted to stay true to that. And I knew it was going to be a little bit of a risk, in the sense that, like, in many cases, I was making these dishes for the first time in a long time.
Ooh.
But I just knew that what I think makes me sort of a unique cook is that I don't use recipes. I don't measure. I really don't have like, I guess, a sense of like how I think a dish is going to turn out. I know it's going to be good, but sometimes things never come out the same twice. Despite them both being, up to my par, they just sometimes you could be down to the ingredients that are a little different. So, yeah, I'm not a methodical cook at all. Sometimes that drives people crazy because they'll come and eat my food and they'll be like, "Oh, you have to give me this recipe. You have, and I'm like, I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. I didn't measure. A lot of times, I guess digging through the fridge and pulling out stuff, but whatever's there, and creating something with what I have. And so that could be a little bit of a challenge, but I'm glad I did that. I really am. I think it served me well.
Yeah, a little aside. I know my wife's one of her aunts had a had her recipe for clam cakes, of course, which are kind of a Rhode Island tradition and treat. And she had never written it down because she would just know the ingredients, know put it together, know how to get the feel for it. So as she was trying to write it, she wrote the proper gookiness. How do you define gookiness? So
Maybe she meant moisture content.
one Friday night, everybody gathered to have her to watch her go through the process to see how she would define it. Effectively, it was, yeah, the kind of the moisture content. How quickly did it fall off the spoon? Was the
Yeah.
proper gookiness, right? And that's something you feel. You get into that, you get that feel. It's hard to quantify.
Yeah, and that's pretty particular with Sicilian cuisine too. Particularly like when it comes to pasta making and certain pastries. I'd always say, "Mom, how do I know that I put enough flour in?" She's like, "Well, it's just when you push on it, it bounces
It
back just a
gives or it
little
gives
bit."
back. Yes.
Things like that. But that was kind of, one of the benefits of growing up in a very culinary, I guess, driven home, was that I was always being a student, even as a little kid. I remember standing on a stool at the island with my mom and, doing the assembly line, making cutlets and things of that nature. So, it's kind of always been something that I loved doing, not only just as a form of expression, but also as a form of just kind of collaborating and connecting with my mom. And so now, obviously I'm trying to recreate those moments with my own daughter, who is 14, and my son too, and he's 17. So I try to get them in the kitchen as much as I can. But that's one of the reasons why I love this show, is because it's one of those shows that you can watch with, it's a multi-generational show, I would call it, where you can watch it with your grandparents and your parents and your teenagers. And I think it's really inspiring, in the sense that, it kind of gets people thinking about, "Hey, maybe I could do this," or, "Hey, maybe we can do this together. That doesn't look that hard." I think just to know that I'm going to be in, a couple million people's living rooms every Monday, and potentially influencing them to maybe try something new or try something a little bit out of their wheelhouse is pretty cool.
So are there particular recipes of yours that kind of do they share the recipes as part of the show?
They do. After each episode, you can visit pbsfood.com and they will post the recipes that all the contestants made, and that way you can try them on your own. So that was tricky, because after the episodes, you had to submit a recipe, and I was like, "Oh, I guess I have to write it
Now
down."
you
So
have to quantify
yeah,
what it
so
is and not just go with the feel.
that was an interesting process for me, but it was fun too, because I kind of got to put everything down in writing, and that way I could pass it on to my kids.
Good. Others can use that as a starting point.
I think so. I think it's a nice resource to have.
Yeah, it's a starting point. And then having seen in that show the variety of others, maybe there's an ingredient they want to add, maybe they want to do something different, maybe it's an approach. And ultimately, you're just going to have the family meal and with whatever the meal is, and then have that conversation. And yeah, oh goodness.
Yeah. I mean, that's the hope, right? Is to just positively play a part in everybody's everyday lives, even if it means just, at the dinner table. So
So I think you might recommend if somebody was asked to do the show, you would say, yes, consider it.
oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, in the early stages when I was being considered, I had so many reservations, primarily just kind of getting up and leaving my husband alone with two teenagers for a month. And of course work and all the other things that we juggle on the day to day. But my husband was really the driving force to convince me to do it because he said, "Marcy, this is, a once in a lifetime opportunity, and I just can't imagine something like this knocking on your door two times." And when he kind of put it in those terms, I realized that, it would be kind of foolish to just walk away from something like this. And I'm, eternally grateful that I didn't, because I met some of the most wonderful people that I've ever met in my life, who I continue to talk to on the daily, every day. And I got to visit a part of the country I'd never seen before. And most importantly, I got to share my, culinary cultural story, which is really, rooted in my parents' journey of being Sicilian born and starting a life and a family in the United States. It's sort of that, quintessential immigrant story. So
Sure. Indeed. Well, thank you for sharing. I know my appetite is whetted for June and that fateful date. So hopefully the others listening will say, yeah, when is it on? When is it on? We'll include the details in the show notes so you can book it, mark it. PBS, The Great American Recipe. And good luck. We'll find out. We'll probably have to do a second episode after, depending upon what happens if you want, see what happens.
sounds good. Sounds good to me. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And thanks again. I hope everyone watches and I hope they enjoy it. And it was, like I said, really proud moment for me to represent Franklin, Massachusetts.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for taking time. And to the listeners, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.